I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, an in-depth look at the impact of concussions. But first, Cam Newton is accustomed to making headlines. While a quarterback at Auburn, he led the Tigers to a national championship, won a Heisman Trophy, and shared the spotlight with his father during a scandal when the latter was accused of shopping Newton's services in a pay-for-play scheme. Now with the NFL's Carolina Panthers, Newton is disproving the conventional wisdom about rookie quarterbacks. Joining me to discuss what some are calling Cam Mania is Scott Fowler, a sports columnist for the Charlotte Observer. Scott, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
In three games, Cam Newton has more than 1,000 yards passing. He's thrown four touchdowns, rushed for two more. So much for concerns about putting him in there before he's ready, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were 2-14 last season, the worst team in the NFL, and I think they just kind of decided, hey, let's give this guy a shot. They've got a rookie head coach here, Ron Rivera, and he has just thrown him to what you would think would be the wolves, but in fact, Cam turns out to be something of a wolf himself. He can play with any of these guys. And as you mentioned, Cam Mania. I tell you, Charlotte and the Carolinas is in the full-fledged grip of it.
His statistics, 400 yards passing in each of the first two games, unfortunately also four interceptions in those games, and Carolina lost them both, but they won on Sunday when Newton had just 158 yards passing and didn't turn the ball over against Jacksonville. Which Cam Newton do you expect to see more of as the season goes on?
Well, I think we'll probably see a combination of the two. Last Sunday, when they won that game, there was a near-biblical rainstorm here in Charlotte. It was a deluge. And in all of that, Cam Newton never fumbled, never threw an interception, handled the ball well, and obviously that would have brought down the passing yardage significantly. One of the raps on him was that he might be an inaccurate quarterback, that at Auburn his receivers were all open by 5 yards because the whole team was such good athletes. But he has managed to throw the ball very accurately in these first three games, other than, as you mentioned, the interceptions. He's made a couple of silly rookie mistakes, but in general has been far better than expected.
During his time at Auburn, Newton was known as much for his running as for his passing. He's got 98 yards on the ground so far this year. This makes him Carolina's leading rusher. Probably not a great sign in terms of a balanced attack.
You're very right. It is not a good sign, and in fact, Newton is a big guy and is as big as most tight ends, bigger than most linebackers, but he's not as big as everybody out there, and they're all coming after him. I hope he will mostly stay in the pocket and be a passer who runs, but sort of like a Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, where he runs mainly to just extend a play. He doesn't run to try to gain yardage.
As you said, the Panthers have not been successful lately. They were 2-14 last year, and it usually takes more than one player to turn that around. Where do you expect Carolina to wind up with Newton under center?
Well, this year, Bill, honestly, I predicted, I think, before the season, 7-9. I think I might have said 6-10. And it may not even be quite that good. And you know how the NFL is. I mean, Buffalo and Detroit this year are the surprise teams early, and every year somebody pops up. I don't think this will be the Panthers' year to do that. However, I wouldn't be surprised if they did in 2012.
Scott Fowler is a sports columnist for the Charlotte Observer. Scott, thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's not exactly breaking news that the NFL is a quarterback's league. It's possible to win with an average guy under center, but it's a lot easier when your signal caller is among the elite. Despite the evolution of the quarterback position, the NFL's single-game passing record has endured. Wednesday marked the 60th anniversary of Norm Van Brocklin's 554-yard performance for the Los Angeles Rams. Joining me now is ProFootballReference.com blog writer Chase Stewart. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me on.
Last fall, you wrote about why Norm Van Brocklin's mark had survived the careers of big yardage passers like Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, Warren Moon, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. We tend to associate big passing totals with the modern game, but you point out that quarterbacks in the 40s and 50s like to air it out too.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think a lot of younger fans today associate the older days of football with the 70s, and there's no doubt that the 1970s were basically football's version of the dead ball period. Quarterbacks didn't throw very effectively. They didn't throw very often. The 40s and 50s had a lot of big passing games and a lot of big receiving games.
Van Brocklin's Rams were very good. Their opponent on September 28, 1951, was the New York Yanks, and they were very bad. How much did the matchup contribute to Van Brocklin's feat?
Not to take anything away from Van Brocklin, who's a Hall of Famer, but the New York Yanks were not a very good team. They're, you know, maybe they're a little bit better than a semi-pro team today, but I think the difference between the 32nd team today and the average team in the league would be much smaller than the Yanks of those days versus the average team in the early 50s.
There has been a lot of talk about the statistics New England's Tom Brady and Carolina rookie quarterback Cam Newton put up in the first three games of the current season, enormous passing statistics. Some people point to the fact that the time off during the lockout perhaps lulled defenses to sleep. Do you buy that argument?
I will say that passing numbers, they are higher than normal. Even accounting for the fact that passing numbers are usually higher in September before the weather changes, things are out of whack this year. And even though they've been rising steadily the past few years, 2011 does seem to be a departure. So maybe it's the lockout. I guess it could also just be a lot of great quarterbacks are playing really well right now and none of them are hurt.
Of course, another development is the National Football League has made some rule changes this year that many people feel favor the offense. Tell us how you think these factor into some of those 400 and 500-yard passing games we've seen.
From a historical perspective, in 1978, there were rule changes on how linemen could block and what cornerbacks could do. That really sparked the first change in passing numbers. I think if you look, though, the big thing is passing is just much more of an attractive option than it used to be. The sack rates and interception rates have really plummeted throughout all of football history. That's one of the examples where it actually is a pretty linear history, where in the 50s and 40s, even when there was significant passing numbers, interception rates and sack rates were high. Now there's just not a whole lot of downside to passing, and this may be the new NFL.
All right, Chase, using some proprietary technology that I can't reveal on the air, during this next answer, we're going to pipe your voice into the speaker inside the helmet of every quarterback in the National Football League. So what advice would you give them about trying to knock Norm Van Brocklin off in the single-game passing yardage department?
Well, first, you can't be afraid to run up the score. it wouldn't hurt if you could gain a bunch of yards and then maybe throw an interception in the end zone. It won't look as bad, the running up the score. You know, you want to gain yards but not score points.
Uh-huh.
You need to have your defense not on the field very often, and you need to have a lot of big plays. So it'll break eventually just because there are so many games played and so many good quarterbacks. But it's lasted this long, so you can't say it's going to definitely break anytime soon.
Jay Stewart writes for ProFootballReference.com. You can link to his article, Why is Norm Van Brocklin Still a Record Holder? At our website, onlyagame.org. Chase, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, it's been great. I always love talking football. You guys have a good day out there.